You're listening to the MRC-TV Podcast Public Service Announcement.
Welcome to the MRC-TV Podcast. I'm Eric Shiner. Joining me today is Newsbusters Senior Editor Tim Graham. Tim, thanks for being with us.
Sure.
And we're talking a little bit of Meet the Prick that people may have saw Sunday. Meet the Press. Is that what it's called? Meet the Press. Ron Johnson had an appearance. You actually wrote an article on it, and it also became Brent Bozell and yours column this week that was just released this morning. Tell us a bit about what went down, and we got some wonderful clips to play as well.
I think what went down is that Ron Johnson's sitting in Wisconsin listening to the opening segment in his earpiece, and he just gets mad while he's listening to it. And so instead of answering the question that Chuck Todd put to him, he said, well, wait, before we get to that. And then he started talking about Peter Strzok and Lisa Page.
Well, he didn't accept the line of question.
Right.
That was his thing. He was basically saying, you're asking me a question, setting up a premise that is inaccurate.
Well, I think he understood that, look, when a Chuck Todd or a Jake Tapper or a Margaret Brennan or any or Stephanopoulos, their line of questioning is going to be, here's what Schiff's doing this week, and we are going to line up with Schiff. Because he started asking him about Gordon Sondland, who was Adam Schiff's star witness, who didn't get to testify.
Right, yes,
but it was all, what does Schiff want us to ask Ron Johnson? And he smells that. So he's basically saying, I'm going to go off your script and start talking about Strzok and Page. Now, the only problem with that is the NBC audience is like, who on earth is that? Because they don't want to talk about that. So
Chuck Todd had a meltdown.
Yeah.
All right, let's play a clip.
Because when we first start hearing the CIA leaking about Russia supporting the Trump campaign, that is why Trump is so upset. He had this false narrative that resulted in him being set up by James Comey on January 16th. Then he has a special counsel appointed that has hampered his entire investigation, his entire administration. And now, once that was proven false, he would like to know, and I would like to know, and I know his supporters would like to know, where did this all come from? Who planted that false story?
Senator.
Who leaked? You know, I have my third letter into the Inspector General of the Intelligence Committee asking to just confirm, are you investigating those leaks that Peter Strzok talked about in that text?
All right, Senator, I have no idea
that's a setup. It is entirely irrelevant to this point.
Why a Fox News conspiracy propaganda stuff is popping up on here, I have no idea.
I have no idea why we're going here. Senator, this is underlying exactly why President Trump is upset and why his supporters are upset at the news media.
Okay, this is not about the media. Senator Johnson, please.
Go ahead.
We please answer the question that I asked you instead of trying to make Donald Trump feel better here that you're not criticizing
him?
I'm just trying to ask you a simple question of what made you wince.
It's Fox conspiracies popping up on his network, and he's not happy about it.
Yeah, same thing, which is Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. The amount of coverage the networks have given to this, I believe, with Rich Noyes' little numbers, is probably about 10 minutes apiece. And, I mean, that's over years. So it's kind of this, I think it's sort of the same, if you can imagine what happens at a lot of Thanksgiving tables, where you have a pile of Democrats, and then you've got that one uncle who watches Fox, and he starts talking about...
Are you letting us into your personal life?
No, no.
Oh, okay, I was curious.
No, we don't have a lot of Democrats at the Thanksgiving table, but they still don't want to talk politics. But you start talking about Strzok and Page and Christopher Steele, and they all go, what is this conspiracy garbage? That's what happens. It doesn't mean that there aren't facts. It just means, again, this is what the liberals hate it when you use the term alternative facts. These are the alternative facts. This is a different narrative, which they refuse to accept.
But the meltdown is different. This is kind of out of hand to start yelling at your guest because you don't like the fact that he's taking apart your line of questioning.
Well, I would say this, as we say in the column, the week before he had Steve Scalise on, and he didn't come this unglued, but they don't let them finish. You know, a shift can come on, and he gets to talk for 2 minutes. Chris Murphy gets to talk for two minutes.
Yeah, let's go to this clip. This is Chris Murphy. This is right after the Ron Johnson interview where Chuck Todd shouted him down, and then he has Chris Murphy, and all of a sudden everything becomes, what should we do?
We have a major problem here. I mean, the comfort level that the senator had to character assassinate the show and us in this bizarre personal way, I think shows you where we're headed. What do we do?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think our only choice now is to take this to the American public.
Typical. I mean, it's not typical for them to say we. That's generally something they don't do. It's the way they talk on the phone to each other.
I'm about to say this was just an admission on the air. It's a we. It's the Democrats and the media working together.
Yes, as Chris Plant likes to say, the Democrats and the media. But wait, I repeat myself. And I think that this is the pattern. And it's not just Chuck Todd. It is what we see with Margaret Brennan, is what we see with Stephanopoulos or Martha Raddatz, and that is the Republican guests get so much pushback, they get so much aggression, they don't get to finish their sentences. And the Schiffs and the Chris Murphys and John Brennan on the Chuck Todd, where Chuck Todd's just like, your character's been assassinated, you poor man.
He didn't even ask any of the questions that Ron Johnson suggested.
Of course. And I think that's what Johnson was sort of cynically suggesting is, here's what you should ask Brennan, and I know you will not.
You ought to ask Director Brennan, what did Peter Strzok mean when he texted Lisa Page on December 15, 2016,
Senator, quote, can we, Senator?
Chuck, let me finish.
What does this have to do with Ukraine leaking like mad?
And so Johnson did nothing wrong here except, you know, we would always want to give him the cue, like, no, if he's going to say you're going to accuse him personally, then you start saying, well, Chuck, you know, your wife who took $2 million from Bernie Sanders in the last election cycle.
She runs a lobbying firm, right?
A direct mail fundraiser. And Chuck Todd, I made a big point of this at the time. Chuck Todd would interview Bernie Sanders like 17 times and never disclose on the air that his wife's business took almost $2 million from Bernie Sanders. Or the idea that Chuck Todd and his Democrat fundraiser wife had a dinner party in 2015 for the communications director, Jennifer Palmieri, Hillary Clinton's communications director, a friendly dinner party. This came out, of course, because of WikiLeaks, which is why they all hated the WikiLeaks thing, because it showed how chummy they were.
Now, this actually became part of the column this week, the Brent Bozell, Tim Graham column, because a lot of these news shows are saying, well, we invited several Republicans to come on and talk about this, but they just wouldn't do it. And the question you guys have is, what made it take them so long to come to that conclusion that they really don't want to be joining Jake Tapper in these CNN and MSNBC shows?
I mean, obviously the answer is Trump. I mean, I think that the aggression of these questioners has gone up dramatically because it's Trump. And I think any conservative Republican doesn't want to defend everything Trump tweets or everything Trump says. But it's that whole idea of the unfairness of it. In fact, we didn't say this in the column, but it is true. They show more respect to the foreign minister of Iran a couple weeks ago. Chuck Todd did. Margaret Brennan did. Lester Holt certainly does every time he interviews this. The Iranian foreign minister gets a more polite interview where he gets to smile and finish his sentences than Republicans. And I think that shows you their anger, their constant bitterness about Trump. And I think the idea that they all say this to each other, we can't let these people defend Trump. And their audiences, if you're at CNN, the 24/7 Trump hate network, you're not going to be allowed to let people speak. You can't let them lie. They always say, you can't let them lie about that on the air. Ron Johnson had no lies. Ron Johnson was actually trying to read from the Strzok Page texts. And they don't care. Again, it's not about truths or lies. It's when you bring facts to defend Trump, you're still doing something offensive.
Yeah, there's just certain aspects of the narrative they don't want to talk about, Strzok and Page being among them. Do you think it's a good thing, though, that a lot of these Republicans are saying, you know what, I'd rather not appear on CNN? I mean, there is something to be said about throwing yourselves into the fire and fighting the devil.
Yeah, I think, I guess to me, it would be if you're a member of Congress, and especially right now during the impeachment inquiry, say, why bother? Now, it's interesting that they haven't also done...
That's been Trump's take on undoing any assistance or acquiescing to any request from the impeachment inquiry. Now, is we're just not going to do it. It's not an official House
impeachment
inquiry, so no.
I totally agree that I think sometimes it's good for Republicans to engage with liberal media. You can't. This is the whole problem: is you can't avoid them because they are most of the media. It's really hard to avoid them, and so. But I think the problem here is, again, we've had this underlying hypocrisy from the liberal media, which is they demand you show up and then they accuse you of lies. And then their audience says, why are you putting this person on? So we had this where Joe Biden puts out the letter saying, don't let Rudy Giuliani come on your airwaves because he lies so much.
Yeah, and a request from a campaign. That was really interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, it's the same way they treat the press briefing.
Has that ever happened before? In your memory?
No, because it's...
I know your research and background on this goes further back than mine.
I would say I'm sure it's happened in back channels. It just hasn't been an open public letter. I'm sure that they've said to people, don't put blankety blank on in private. There's a lot of communications that these people have in private that if we had them like we had the WikiLeaks, it really totally underlines. I mean, when you look at John Podesta's emails and the way some of these people...
like creepy.
Yeah, the way that they talk to these people, it's so much chummier. And some of that may be professionally trying to get that interview or whatever, but it still reads like... Bleh. But it's like it's the same thing happened with the Sarah Sanders press briefing where it was like, you need to have a press briefing. OK, here she comes off the press briefing. You can't put that live. That's terrible. So, I mean, they always have that double standard within themselves that they demand.
Yeah, who was it the other week that dropped right out of the Trump on MSNBC, dropped out of the Trump press conference because he was talking about Joe Biden? Like, oh, we're not even going to.
Yeah.
We're not going to acknowledge this. The president's not telling the truth, and we're just going to cut off. We're going to do all this criticism of him, but we're not going to let him rebut anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same way that they're all running around, and you're still hearing it now.
Nicole Wallace, that's who I'm thinking.
Yes, well.
Nicole Wallace did that, I believe.
Who used to be a Republican at one point. And, of course, the worst former Republicans are all over MSNBC, a couple of them at CNN. But it is that mentality of the same way they always talk about the Biden, Hunter Biden thing by saying, well, of course, there's no evidence that they did anything wrong. Look, it's one thing to try to say, well, Hunter Biden taking $50,000 a month from some Ukrainian gas company isn't illegal. Okay, it's not illegal. It also wasn't illegal for Bill Clinton to take a $500,000 honorarium for a 20-minute speech. That doesn't, just because it's legal doesn't mean it isn't sleazy.
Well, that they're constantly telling us all we have to do is connect the dots.
Yeah, well...
That's what we hear. You know, well, Trump didn't do anything. It's not quid pro quo, but the Congress and the American public can connect the dots. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. Watching the liberal media, but they, you know, you can't remotely connect the dots if it comes to a Democrat.
You have completely underlined what media bias is. And it's that whole idea of we can aggressively connect the dots for you guys. And of course, there's no evidence that they did anything wrong. I mean, it's that phrasing.
Of course, which hasn't been investigated, but they don't mention that because the prosecutor.
This is
off.
The way they handle it. It was absolutely the way they handled the Clinton scandals, where they would say those charges are unsubstantiated. OK, will you attempt to substantiate them? No, that would be giving in to liars or something. I mean,
so what's the future? I mean, are we only going to see Republicans show up on Fox now to give their opinion, and we're only going to see Democrats on the liberal networks? Well, it's pretty much all we see anyway. But again, like, I'd rather have someone like Ron Johnson come on, fight, scream, and get cut off.
Yeah.
Because then at least you know he's fighting it and he's trying to make some points and they're not letting him. Because frankly, Chuck Todd looked foolish.
Well,
in that video, he looked incredibly stupid.
I think what needs to happen, if Jake Tapper is going to get up on Sunday and make these preachy efforts about how he reached out to Republicans, there should be a negotiation. You cannot tell me that Hillary Clinton did any of her interviews without setting down conditions about what you couldn't ask her. I just simply don't believe that.
Or you were roped off in the unfriendly media section.
Yeah. Or they knew what not to ask her and they didn't, which would be worse. But I think that a Republican should say, I will come on if, one, you don't interrupt me 18 times in 2 minutes. And then I would also say, you know, this is what I would like. This is what I have to say. If you won't let me say it, I'm not coming on. I mean, there just needs to be, to borrow from Chris Matthews, hardball.
Well, if you say this is what I want to say, and if you don't let me say it, I'm not coming on, then they're not going to come on.
Yeah. Well, but that would be...
If you lay down that ground rule, they're just going, well, then you're denying I asked you and you said no.
But this is the whole problem with the difference between the Republican interview. It used to be, and this is what makes you sad, is that Tim Russert used to be known as a guy, at least in his early tenure at Meet the Press, where the Democrats would sweat doing a Tim Russert interview, and they had to be afraid that Russert was going to go, well, I've pulled out of a speech you gave 7 years ago, defend it. Nobody fears going... What Democrat fears going on Chuck Todd? That's like being, well, I'm going to make an appearance on Sesame Street. I hope it goes well.
I hope Big Bird doesn't offend me in any way.
Doesn't lay an egg. But yeah, so I mean, it's that dramatic difference where if you ask the...
But it wasn't originally that way. We talked about this before the show. Andrea Mitchell, Chuck Todd, when MSNBC first started, they were a little hesitant to be associated with it because MSNBC clearly had a huge agenda going forth.
Yeah.
They were still of the opinion, of the personal opinion anyways, that NBC News was still NBC News.
Right.
But now they've just kind of don't care and it's joined. It's just one big...
And again, I say Trump. I think in the early days, especially when you had like the Olbermans... doing segments like,
oh, you gotta bring
Bush,
that up.
Shut the hell up, kind of segments that Tom Brokaw found that embarrassing. In the age of Trump, yes, they're all a blur now. But yes, what you used to get is it would be one thing to say, I brought on the Republican and I challenged him with the Democratic arguments. And then I brought on the Democrat and I challenged him with the Republican arguments. And that doesn't happen. As you're seeing here, Chuck Todd's questions to the Democrats are Democratic questions. We did a big study, Rich Noyes and the crew, of interviews with members of Congress on CNN and MSNBC. And they were overwhelmingly Democrat. And then you say, well, what kind of questions did all these Democrats get? Democrat agenda questions. So, I mean, that's how friendly it is. So, you know, they're setups. They're softballs. They're the sort of things like, Adam Schiff, how will you be persecuting Trump this week? We're looking forward to it. Kind of, you know, I mean, it's setting up the agenda. It's not challenging him. It's not, for example, with Schiff saying, well, clearly you said you had your team hadn't met with the whistleblower, but they did. So, explain to us why you would say that.
Yeah, they don't ask that.
That would be an uncomfortable question. So yeah, they get kissy kissy, and this is why. And then they all run around and say, I don't understand why people don't think we're credible. Everybody can see you're on one team. We all know that, and the Democrats know that.
One thing I want to get into today, this morning, there's a Byron York story coming out that the whistleblower is actually associated with a campaign, a Democratic presidential campaign, obviously while this person is still working in the White House. This is an issue, but we talk about the liberal media reporting, it's always anonymous source, anonymous source, anonymous source.
Well, and this is the whole problem, and if this has been a problem, again, throughout the Trump presidency in particular, which is... What the anonymous source hides, what using the anonymous source hides, is who is this person, what is their agenda? And if we knew, I submit, I'm just going to be a conspiracy theorist
okay.
on this one.
Put on the tinfoil hats at home, make them.
A lot of these stories are either anonymous Democrats, for example, people inside the White House, it could be people who started under Obama and stayed. It could just be, and as we expect from many White Houses, some White House aide who is bitter at another White House aide. That's kind of the classic game of the chief of staff's a jerk, so I'm going to let him have it anonymously because I'm so courageous. And so If we knew who the anonymous sources were, it would look a lot less impressive. And that's the problem to me. And this is why the idea that you're going
it'd be Democrat, this Democrat, that Democrat. That's what would happen if they admitted this.
I think that the Nicole Wallace Republican. And I think that, and let's face it, there are a lot of sort of Bush Dole Republicans who can't stand Trump. And so they'd be very eager to talk. And this is the same syndrome you get where they run around saying, well, we've been told that 25 Republicans would vote to impeach Trump. Yeah, by Trump-hating people who Trump-hating former Republicans or...
Well, you mentioned that, but I mean, heck, even Chuck Todd on Meet the Brick says, hey, he takes a look at the poll of people that support impeachment, and he says about the 40 or so percentage that doesn't support impeachment or doesn't think there should be an impeachment investigation. You know, they're delusional. What's wrong with them? Yeah.
Well, here's why we're here, because there is a we have two sets of realities that live here. There is a 40% of the country that is only getting fed one reality. Arguably 60% are getting what I would argue is reality. But this is a huge problem.
Yep.
That's the attitude. If you don't agree with them, then you're just completely wrong and insane.
It's that idea, again, this is where the news media loses trust, because what you're basically telling people who voted for this president is they can't accept reality, which does suggest you have a mental illness. And it's incredibly insulting. If Chuck Todd doesn't know, that's incredibly insulting. He has to know. But it's that idea that they're going to try to impeach and remove the president based on a whistleblower who's nobody's allowed to know their identity. And the press the last couple of days have been like, we can't trust the Republicans to keep this person secret. And the Republicans are saying, I have no idea why you think that's fair. That's not fair. You wouldn't have a criminal trial.
Well, it's just like they're not releasing the transcripts of the Volcker testimony that they already have. Adam Schiff just releases the segments he wants to release, but there's no full transcript.
Well, and they can rely on the news media to not have any outrage about Democrats when they're not transparent. That's, again, the lie of these people running around with their bold slogans about democracy dying in darkness. When
they've locked themselves in the closet and turned off the lights.
Yeah, I mean, they've always allowed the Democrats their privacy when it was helpful to the cause. So that's. It would be nice, and people would show respect for journalists who say, well, we're going to question both sides. That would be nice.
But it's not going to happen anytime soon. Tim Graham, thank you for joining us on the MRC TV podcast.
My pleasure.
And you can tune into previous episodes of the MRC TV podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. Find us on Podomatic. I'm Eric Shiner from MRC TV. We'll be back next week.